TCBR, your local community radio podcasts.
Roger Gallagher reporting for TCBR, that's Thurrock Community Business Radio. I'm at Gray's Library and it's the Thurrock Local Authors Fair, part of the Essex Book Festival, and I am with Emma Robinson.
Hello.
Hello again.
Nice to see you. It's lovely to be back.
Yes, another year has gone.
It's incredible. I've had two books out in that time.
I know, I was going to ask you, yeah, what two books have you had out since then?
So since then I've had, at the beginning of the year, I had The Forgotten Child,
yeah,
which is about a mother of twins who are about 15 at this stage, but it flashes back to when they were younger too, and one of her twins is quite profoundly autistic and requires quite a lot of care, and the story really is about what happens with her relationship with the other twin and sort of navigating that. But obviously it's one of my books, so there's some twists and turns along the way and some ups and downs, but hopefully finishes on a hopeful ending.
Excellent. Yeah. And what's the other book?
And the other one, which is just out, and it's called We Both Have Secrets, and it's a little bit different for me because it's set in Spain.
Oh.
So I actually took a trip to Malaga last year and thought it would be, in the heat, would be a perfect setting for quite an intense, it's not a thriller, it's not as far as a thriller, it's still family drama.
Okay.
But it's a married couple whose last child's just left for university.
Yeah.
Bit of empty nest going on. They reconnect with an old university friend, go and stay with her in her villa in Malaga.
Yeah.
And as soon as they arrive, my protagonist's husband, Robert, starts behaving a little bit strangely and she's not sure what's going on. So again, lots of secrets. She's got secrets, he's got secrets, and it's the unravelling of those secrets where the drama happens.
So what inspires you to write these particular types of stories?
I think it's because I'm really interested in psychology and what makes people tick,
yeah,
and how the things that have happened to us affect how we deal with things.
Yeah.
So I think for me there's always a lot of looking at situations which could be difficult, like,
yeah,
for example with Forgotten Child. I've got quite a few friends that have children that have got on, and grown children that have got special needs, and seeing firsthand how difficult that can be to navigate sometimes. So I like to take a situation like that and then think, what else could make this worse? What else, you know, in their upbringing, in their life experience, could make that even harder for them to navigate? Because,
yeah,
I think I'm really interested in the fact that we all see a very surface version of each other, don't,
yeah,
we? And we all sort of think, oh, that person's life is like this, or that person's life is like that, without really knowing what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I think unpicking that, I find fascinating. Essentially, I'm a very nosy person. So I like to, and I do also kind of hear things that people have been through, read stories. You know, and I didn't start publishing books until I was in my 40s, so
yeah,
by that time I had a lot of friends with a lot of life experiences,
yeah, yeah,
to sort of draw on, and for myself as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I like that.
So, have you got any ideas for your next story?
Well, I'm currently writing my next one,
yeah,
which will be out in January. It hasn't got a title yet. And that one's about two sisters.
Oh.
So I'm kind of explored. I've done a lot of mother-child stuff. This last one was of husband and wife. So I'm now kind of delving into the world of siblings and sisters. So these two sisters are estranged. You know, they're in contact. They meet at family events and they're very civil. But there's a lot of backstory to their relationship.
Oh.
And then at the beginning of the story, their father has a heart attack and is in hospital. So they're kind of both dragged into,
yeah,
the same.
Yeah.
You know, we all know what it's like to be sitting at a hospital bed.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite an intense situation.
It is.
And to be sitting opposite somebody that you've got kind of history with.
Yeah.
Adds to the tension. So, yeah,
yeah,
my editor always kind of says to me, right, what else can we throw at them? What else,
yeah,
can we make this worse?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's been really interesting, actually, just looking at those dynamics. And whoever you talk to, everyone always wants to tell you a story about them and their brothers and sisters.
Oh,
so
there's a mine
of material there. And again, relatable. What I hope about my books and what I get in reviews, which I really like, is people saying that the characters are relatable.
Yeah.
You know, that they could see themselves in that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And that's the whole thing, isn't it? What's that famous quote? We read to know we're not alone.
Yeah.
And I think it's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
to know that, you know, you might have problems with your sister or brother or you know, and then you read this book and then think, do you know what, it's pretty normal. It's pretty normal to have those mixed feelings about siblings.
Oh yeah, yeah. So have you given up your day job now?
I have, yes.
Wow.
So I'm now, right, thankfully, thank you Bookature, my publisher, I'm now making enough money that I can give up teaching.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, so that's now my second year of writing full time. So I was already doing two books a year, and I'm going to, I don't know if I'm going to manage it, but my plan is to put out three.
Really?
Next year, yeah. Because I think, whoa, I've learnt that I need kind of constant work and deadlines to keep me busy. And two a year was manageable when I was teaching, but now I'm not teaching. I've got that extra time. So there's a bit of me that fancies writing something a bit more kind of sunny uplit. So I fancy writing kind of maybe a romance or just something different, just to kind of stretch myself, you know, and try a different genre. So you never know, watch the space.
Yeah,
there might be one of those coming.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some authors do that. I mean, we know that, and some change their names.
Yes.
For different types of genre, different categories of story.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the type of story you write are very popular because they, I mean, if you watch anything on television, like, dare I say, Channel 5, they have a lot of what I call psychological thrillers on there.
Yes.
Some are all right, some are not so good.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, they are out there, people like them.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it is that kind of vicarious thing, isn't it, as well? Like, you can put yourself in that stressful situation for an hour while you're watching it on TV, and then walk away and it's not you. And I think, and I love a weepy, I love a film. Yeah. Like, if I'm feeling quite up in my own head, I love to watch a film that makes me really cry.
Oh, wow.
And I think I quite like to do that in my books a bit as well.
Yeah,
I have a kind of an emotional thread that, you know, when people are kind of working out the plot and then suddenly kind of, not hit them, but kind of have this real quite emotional scene that, because I want people to feel something when they read my books.
Yeah.
I want them to feel emotionally.
Yeah.
And it's cathartic, isn't it, to have a good cry or feel scared or you know, whatever emotion it is, to like be able to do that and then breathe and step away because it's not your experience.
Yeah.
You've just been walking that experience for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that as a reader too.
Yeah.
I'm reading a fabulous book at the moment called it's called Addy LaRue, The Invisible Life of Addy LaRue.
Oh, right.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I would recommend it to anyone. It's quite a big read, it's quite a time commitment, but it's about a woman who makes a pact with the devil, and she can't die, so, but also she can't be remembered.
Oh.
So if she meets somebody and then walks away, they've forgotten her almost instantly.
Oh, wow.
So it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
It's so different, but again, you get to kind of think, how would that be? And that's, you know, I've got a book club now that I run, and we love to put ourselves and say, what would you do in that situation? And I think that's what I try and do with my books.
Yeah.
To have situations where people could say, do you know what would I do? And it can't be an easy answer.
No.
Because if the answer's easy, then that's not a story.
Exactly.
Really.
No. Love anything, isn't it? Anything's got to have something extra in there.
Yeah, exactly.
A problem.
Yeah, exactly that. So, and I like that to have, and I love that in reviews as well, when people that say, you know, at the beginning I just thought I wanted to shake her and why isn't she doing that, and then as the story unfolds I realised why she behaves that way, and then I really liked her, and I love that. That's my best review. I love it.
And look, I read a story recently for the, you know, about the Carnegie.
Yes,
so we had the Carnegies recently with some secondary school students, and there was a book I read which was called The King of Nothing.
Ooh,
so it's a YA young adult sort of story, or S plus probably, actually. It's an older story, and I absolutely hated the main character. He's a guy at school, he's everybody's scared of him,
right?
He's in a little gang, they bully people,
right?
So his father is in prison for doing something, you don't quite know what at that point, but he's got this respect from everybody else because his father's in prison, you know,
right.
It's all that sort of status. And as a character, he's absolutely awful. And I've started reading and I thought, I can't relate to this guy, he's really, I don't even like him, but strangely, it's a Carnegie book, so you know there's always going to be a theme in there, and it looks at
toxic masculinity.
Yeah, toxic masculinity is in there, a huge amount actually, but quite subtle.
Right.
And it looks at that, and actually as a character he starts to change.
Oh.
So he actually transforms, And actually, by the end, by midway to the end, I really, really enjoyed the story.
Lovely.
And I really liked him as a character.
How lovely.
You can see that journey that he's made.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the only thing that worries me sometimes with some readers now is that if they're 3 or 4 chapters in and they don't like the character, or they don't keep going. And
no.
I think people want... And I don't know if it's from Netflix or what or using phones, or but people kind of want an instant thing.
Yeah.
And I think the best books are those ones where it makes you change your mind.
Yeah.
Because that's, for me, what art should do.
Yes.
Any form of art.
That's right.
It should make us think, it should challenge what we think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And make us feel differently. And I think, but you've got to commit for that, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to not just give up on a book because you don't like... Yeah, I will give up on a book if it's badly written.
Yeah, oh yes.
Because I can't lose myself in it if it's badly written. But I won't give up a book just because I don't like a character.
No, that's right.
Because
right.
I think I want to see what the author's going to do with this character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
Oh, well, it's brilliant. Thank you, Emma.
No, you're welcome. Lovely to
talk
to you always. And see you at the same time next year.
Yes,
yes,
yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye.
TCBR, your local community radio podcasts.